I want to mention that in the letter that I'm going to answer at length on the John Lennon assassination, this person from Capitola wrote to me and said, I've listened to your shows on KLRB, and I feel I'm much more informed on what is really going on, but I can't really repeat anything to anyone because it is little bits of information on men that most people aren't interested in, even though those men are making their lives miserable. Now, the point of the letter is valid. I'm mentioning names that are hard to follow. They are little bits of pieces of information. But if I mention them on this program, they are not unimportant names, and they are names that you should write down or send four sheets that accompany these broadcasts and learn these names or recognize them. I know after World War II, there were names that nobody knew or wanted to know, with the exception of a few, like Adolf Eichmann. We didn't know about Heinrich Mueller. We weren't told about Joseph Mengele's very much. We weren't told about Otto Skorzeny or Hallmar Schacht. We weren't told about Nazis whose names didn't seem important. The war was over. Their German names are foreign to our ear. What have they got to do with us now? The point is that all those men lived, including Heinrich Himmler. They lived. They had unlimited money. They started a Fourth Reich. There was an article in the paper today. There have been 130 wars since World War II was over, and they cost $1 million a minute. Last week, I believe I mentioned that nuclear weapons cost $1 billion a week. 130 wars since World War II, $1 million a minute is the arms cost. Mostly the Soviet Union and the United States are doing 75% of the arms selling. But the important thing is that what seem like little names or unimportant names, if I mention them, I want you to remember them. And if I repeat them through the years, maybe something will sink in. But they are the movers. They are the people behind, say, killing John Lennon or Elvis Presley or John Kennedy or Mahatma Gandhi or whoever you like, Martin Luther King or Robert Kennedy, whoever you believe in or like or admire. They probably had their finger in it, whether it was Janis Joplin or Jimi Hendrix. And these assassination teams, these known CIA assassins, are surfacing now. There's never been a more exciting time for the researchers who have been doing this for 17 or 20 years, some longer, but certainly since the Kennedy assassination, the people I've met. It's an exciting time because the new names are the old names, or we're learning new names that link to organizations that we've already studied that are coming unglued. So that if you're young and you didn't live through this period, and I'm mentioning names to you that you don't know, that are not familiar with you, you can get sheets that accompany the broadcast, and you can go to the library and look up these people in the indexes and read about them. I can't teach you everything 1 hour a week, 1 week, 52 weeks a year. You can't learn the details of these people. I can only give you an overview, but they are not little bits of pieces of information. They're important, and you should follow them. Now, getting back to the Ronald Reagan shooting April 19th, the week after we made the comparisons to the Kennedy assassination and the suggestion that the bullets indicate there was more than one gun and they came from a different direction, I talked about Edward Bennett Williams, the attorney for John Hinckley Jr., and he also is the attorney for John Connally from Texas, former Secretary of the Navy, Secretary of the Treasury, and so forth. John Connally's name was brought up with regard to the Dominica invasion attempt, and if he and Vesco are involved in that area, that was quickly silenced because Edward Bennett Williams was the attorney for Robert Vesco, John Hinckley Jr., and John Connally. If the Klan and the Nazis and the group of assassination teams had any relationship to John Hinckley Jr., this should be looked into by private investigators, certainly, because the name of Connally and Vesco did come up. And what they have in common in this whole thread is possibly the Dominica invasion, the Nazis, and also the Crystal River people. They've been picked up on three different places, and the pieces of the story only come out in various newspapers. There is yet not one large definitive article going into the Reagan shooting, and maybe I'll have to do that. Now, this Franklin Joseph Camper, I learned this week, as I say, has worked for the FBI for 10 years, and he was arrested with Robert Lisenby, and he runs that camp where he trains mercenaries and they train assassins. I also asked in May, later in May, when I had an article, how many John Hinckley lookalikes, and I brought up an article in the New York Post, April the 4th, saying that a man resembling John Hinckley was outside the Washington, D.C. hotel, and the Secret Service quickly spotted him, and then the other one disappeared. And what I'm wondering, being as the man who grabbed John Hinckley Jr. and nailed him to the floor until his knuckles were bleeding, maybe he grabbed somebody he wasn't supposed to get. Maybe the other Hinckley was the one they were supposed to get, and this one was supposed to run away. And maybe he died on the surgery table from complications. So as a punishment for hitting that brat, John Hinckley Jr., who was out there just gunning down people at the time of the meeting of Ronald Reagan with labor people inside the Hilton Hotel. Time will tell about this story, but I wondered about the doubles, and maybe this poor fellow picked the wrong one and fell on him. You see, another similarity there was at the time John Kennedy was assassinated, there was a Lee Harvey Oswald that left the back of the Texas School Book Depository that a Mr. Worrell saw, and there was a Lee Harvey Oswald that left the front of the book depository that got into the car of Michael and Ruth Payne. And that is part of the book I'm doing on the Oswald doubles. So there are doubles at these places, and maybe the police apprehended, were forced to apprehend the John Hinckley Jr. at that time instead of the double. And that's why the witness now is no longer alive to share any facts about the settling down of this person right in front of the Hilton Hotel. This week, there was a Valor Award for Secret Service agents. The Treasury just spent $45,000 to pay various agents, one who stepped in and took Tim McCarthy's place when he was wounded, another agent who was across the street who showed restraint in not shooting the assailant because of the proximity, and the various agents have given $10,000 each. I wonder if this is part payment and payoff, and maybe they'll be making a multi-million dollar TV movie or a book in order to pay them more. Was this a payoff that they suddenly got $10,000 each when they were doing their duty? Some of them, it was a very minor job, and they've gotten some lucrative rewards. And finally, on the Reagan shooting in August, this was just 2 months ago, I did mention some very important articles that have happened since John Lennon was shot, December the 8th, almost a year, can't get over it, 1980. And I mentioned the importance of the Lennon shooting. And then I updated various events that have taken place that will, I believe, link together. And that's why I listed them. And again, you can send for that sheet if you want. It was the August 8th broadcast. And after the John Lennon murder, December the 8th, 1980, the next date under that was March the 20th, 1981, in Crystal River, Florida, where the Nazi and Klan met, and the assassins of that group were the ones that were later to invade Dominica. Now, for some reason, and I have my reasons to believe way back in March, that this was a very important operation and a clue, and I'm learning more and more about these particular men, and I can't tell you on the air yet how much I've learned about them, but I had an instinct to know that the Crystal River, Florida arrest fit in with importance right between the John Lennon murder and the assassination attempt on Ronald Reagan. So if you stay with it long enough and have faith, you'll hear things on this broadcast that I mentioned, and you might wonder why. But 2 weeks or 3 weeks or 2 years later, you will hear it again, and you will know that when I brought it in at that time, for me, that was the right time. And, of course, I have updated the Reagan shooting about the mystery man who was in the surgery room, who nobody knows what he was doing there and why he was standing over the president. And I also mentioned the clothing and the cuffs and the cufflinks and the tie that were missing from the room in spite of the top security and secrecy. And that could be, again, because of the trajectory, if the garments were tested, it could have maybe come from that man on the balcony, photographed right there, standing above Ronald Reagan and been responsible for one of the shots that ricocheted into Ronald Reagan. Now, I'm going to jump to a subject related off the Reagan shooting, but not separate from him, but dear to my heart, the series that I've been doing on Edwin Turpel and George Corcoran and the CIA is going to come to a head because the House Intelligence Committee is going to investigate these men. And I want you to send letters because one letter for me isn't enough. I want you to write to the House Subcommittee, it's the House Select Committee, rather, on intelligence. They are going to conduct a full-scale investigation. They say a full-scale investigation. This was the front page of the New York Times this last week, into Edwin P. Wilson and Frank Turpel and the CIA group that sent money through the Army Special Forces troops, the Green Berets, and trained in Libya the terrorist teams on how to kill, how to assassinate the Army officials who thought they were working for the CIA and setting up Gaddafi with his operation for terrorism in the Middle East, throughout the Middle East, where he has so much influence. Now, when the House Select Committee goes into this, they're going to, of course, be stunned at how big the story is. I don't think that they have any idea how big the story is. And they're going into the Energy Department in 1976 and funds for the Controlled Data Corporation and the organizations Mr. Wilson operated. Now, he had 127 business fronts, so this could keep the House Select Committee busy for 4 years. But if you write to them, write to Representative Edward P. Boland, Democrat of Massachusetts, and tell him how much you know. If you have these tapes or listen to the broadcast, write and tell him how much you know about Edwin Wilson or Frank Turpel or how much you're learning from these broadcasts and that you want not a whitewash this time, but you want them to go into this case. Now, William Casey, the director of the CIA, is panicky. He's informed the committee that he doesn't want them to go into this. He says he'll cooperate, but high intelligence officials said, and this is from the New York Times, that such an investigation could hurt internal morale and divert public attention from the need to rebuild operational and analysis capability that they believed was damaged by investigations into the CIA in mid-1970. Translated, this means that if the House Select Committee on Intelligence goes into the question of Wilson and Turpel and their cohorts, it will hurt the morale of the sensitive CIA because they are trying to make people believe that they've been cleaned up since Watergate and Watergate is behind us, and it will divert attention from the need to rebuild it. Now, Mr. Casey, the old OSS CIA guy, should totally be removed from the CIA for 150 good reasons. He absolutely has to be removed, and he wants to make it a law to prosecute people who mention names of agents. They want to tighten down on the news media. They are criminals. They are assassins. They fund terrorists, such as Carlos the terrorist, who in turn funds organizations like the IRA and the PLO, which I'll go into later for these listeners who want it, in order to cause chaos all over Italy with the Italian Red Brigade, in Germany, the Baader-Meinhof, in Japan, the Japanese Red Army. They have funded, the CIA has funded the SLA, the terrorists, and so forth. And at a time when Wilson and Turpel and Shackley and all these people are being investigated, the CIA is getting nervous. They don't want you to know about Theodore Shackley or Edwin Wilson or Frank Nugent or Michael Hand or Frank Turpel or Richard Helms any more than you know or Kevin McCullough or George Corcoran or George Bush's connections or Vernon Walter's connections or William Colby or Alexander Haig or John Connolly or Michael Sindona's links. Again, in July, I gave these names on the air and the links to John Hinckley Jr. or Muhammad Ali Aja, who shot the Pope, or Mark David Chapman, who shot John Lennon, or the links to the California Wells Fargo banks and the Green Beret and the Special Forces. I mentioned these people in July. Now, these are the people. If you have these tapes, copy that sheet. If you don't have, send for it. And write to the Congressman Edward P. Boland, Democrat of Massachusetts, the House Select Committee on Intelligence. Send him that sheet that I have. You send it to and write your own words on this. We want a full investigation. They have promised a full investigation, but it's going to take a special prosecutor. And tell them in your letter, we don't want any more CIA cover-up Leon Jaworski. He covered up the Nuremberg trials of the Nazis, letting most of them get off with a little tap on the wrist. He covered up the John Kennedy assassination, the Watergate investigation, the Coriagate investigation that taps into this, and Reverend Moon and his operation. We don't want him into the Nugenhand CIA investigation and the CIA terrorism. We don't want Leon Jaworski. No, thank you. He should be shelled. Unfortunately, he's the kind that gets called in because he does such a good job. Now, the House Intelligence Committee is going to open this. Good luck. Lots of luck. It's going to be funny to see them do it. Mr. William Casey is nervous. He's asked them, please don't identify people and please keep the CIA files to yourself. He asked in the news in the committee this week, don't open up the files. Why not open them up? They involved William Casey, and Ronald Reagan had no business to make William Casey, with his Robert Vesco organized crime connections, director of the CIA. I've had on these broadcasts the links of Casey, the attorney for Caesar's World, the gambling syndicate. He's an A to Z for the Indonesian government, the South Korean government, for intelligence operations of Saudi Arabia, international links to the very banks I've been talking about and the very people I've been talking about. The San Francisco Examiner had an article this week. Casey pleads to keep the CIA files closed. He doesn't want any Freedom of Information Act or the National Security Agency or the Defense Intelligence Agency. All documents should be quiet. Why? Because Casey's story, the links of Casey to Nugenhand Bank, to the murderers, to the assassins, to John Lennon, to John Kennedy, to the whole era with Eisenhower, Richard Nixon, the Bay of Pigs, these assassins' names are surfacing. They're links of the combine that I've talked about for 10 years on the air, of the Nazis, the narcotics, and the intelligence community. Casey was there when it was all started in Italy with Lucky Luciano and Tom Dewey in New York, who released Lucky Luciano from prison, lifetime in prison, to set up Mafia, CIA, Nazi connections. Casey pleads this week, keep the files closed. You better believe they would be closed, or he'd be hung up, such as the men in, like Mussolini in Italy. That's the way he should be hung up, or the men in Nuremberg that were tried and found to be traitors. That's the way it should go, and I would hope it would, but he's panicky, and he doesn't want any of this coming out. Of course, they passed a law this week. They're tightening up the House Committee, the House Intelligence Committee, and the House of Representatives, a law that it would be a serious crime to name intelligence agents who are actively involved in operations right now. It was a blow to freedom of free speech in this country and to journalists and for people finding out who the assassins are and who the killers are. If the killers and the assassins are the federal agents, the agents shouldn't be excused. They got off of Watergate without being investigated with the Dorothy Hunt plane crash or literally 100, almost 100 Watergate-related deaths that fell into the Watergate-John Kennedy links, the pile of deaths that mounted up after the Watergate arrest. Now, there was a vote in the House of Representatives, 354-56, that you cannot identify U.S. intelligence agents. It would be a federal crime. Well, here I am. You can put me in jail if you want. I don't even care anymore because I will continue to name them if they are guilty of crimes, and I will name their agencies if I know them. This bill says you can't name past agents or ones that are actively operating, and I will continue to name them, and the heck with whatever they want to do, I will name them as long as I'm able to. Now, that vote was 354-56. In our local area, Leon Panetta voted with the 354. It always takes a so-called liberal to vote lose his cover. This is the way Pete McCloskey lost his. He was going on as the anti-war liberal up in the Bay Area during those troublesome years. And yet in Congress, the voting record was always for every single weapon that came along or for oppression of Indians up in Alaska when the oil company moved in. And then he was a buddy of John Ehrlichman's at the time of Watergate, a long friend of Ehrlichman's. And McCloskey blew his cover. Leon Panetta, our local liberal. It takes a liberal, really and truly. It's so disgusting when your local liberal, unless they printed it wrong, voted along with the 353 that he was for it becoming a federal crime to identify U.S. intelligence agencies. Well, so much for Leon Panetta. I've always tried to approach him about these various problems, but I guess there's no point in doing it. And so from now on, I'll just stay away. And I have no intention of voting for him, even if he ran against Genghis Khan. The one thing about a conservative, a radical right, a Nazi, a fascist, is he tells you right on the line what he is and why and what he's doing it for. You don't have to second guess him because he's up front. He's got something he believes in. Right or wrong, he does it. But it takes a liberal like Leon Panetta to vote this kind of a bill, and he didn't have to do it. The Burtons in San Francisco and all the traditional House liberals, 53 of them, it could have been 54. It was 54, actually. He could have made it 55 and been counted among them, but he didn't. He's our liberal Democrat, and as I say, that's the way it goes. Now, there was a strange thing in the paper this week that needs explaining, and I just want to mention it briefly. The United States is going, it reported that it's going to sue William Colby, the former CIA director. They said they reported that they are going to file a suit against Colby for parts of his book that he wrote in 1978 called Honorable Men. Now, the excuse to sue him is so limpy and feeble. It has to do with an expose of the Glomar Explorer and the CIA spy ship, and it was 3 years ago. Why would they want to sue William Colby? William, this is my explanation of why they say the CIA wants to sue William Colby, is that they want to look mad at him. The CIA is doing what they call a disavowal or a denial. Those are terms they use to separate themselves to somebody who's getting entangled in a crime or an investigation to show that he's no longer one of them. Now, William Colby was the attorney for Frank Nugent, who was murdered. William Colby and Frank Nugent and the Nugent and Bank were a heroin drug dealing operation using the Phoenix operators, the assassination teams in Southeast Asia that Colby set up, using narcotics, assassins, and the intelligence community, melded into a bank in Australia that collapsed suddenly. And of course, I know why it collapsed this year. It didn't collapse so suddenly. It was, again, through the interest of Kevin McCulloch that in 1976, as I say, he began to break the story of Edwin Wilson and Frank Turpel and Theodore Shackley, and their money and their assassination kill money was in the Nugent Bank. And when George Bush resigned from the CIA, he didn't tell the new director, Stansfield Turner, about this operation. Turner had to read it in the Washington Post. The new director of the CIA had to learn about Wilson and Turpel, or so he says, not from the CIA people, the hottest potato they had going for 4 years sitting on that, George Bush working with Paisley and the Nugent gang. And this gang, again, sent money to kill Orlando Letelier and Sandra Moffat and Allende. I can give you the hit list of the people they've killed. I've been doing it for the last years, but now they're actually getting pinned to the time, the place, and the money. Now, I think the reason they're saying that they're suing Colby is that Colby is linked to Nugent Hand, and it'll make the CIA look like they're mad at Colby. If they win a lawsuit of $100,000 from him and he gave $100,000 cash, they give him $1 million under the table for doing it. This is all makeup. This is the stuff you put on clowns at a circus. This is the show thing. They're not mad at Colby. And next week, if I remember, I'll read to you from the investigation of the Senate Watergate Committee when Colby was director of the CIA. He sent a letter to Senator Howard Baker. If you go too far, and he used the word South America, into the investigations of our agents in South America, I will disclose information of CIA operations. He blackmailed Senator Howard Baker of the Watergate Committee that if they got in further into than Watergate, he would open up other operations. And he specifically said South America. Well, you can imagine what was going on in South America when William Colby from the Phoenix program was now operating with the Nugent Hand Bank at the time of Watergate and threatening the Senate Investigating Committee. You know, we've had so many committees investigating, from John Kennedy and the Pipe Committee and the Senator Church Committee and the Rockefeller Committee. There's and Watergate, there's so many committees, it's not easy to separate them anymore because they're all looking at the same crime, but they're not going far enough. And finally, I just have time for two news stories that I'll update later that go back to Crystal River, to the Nazis and the Cubans, the Nugan Hand Bank, and the people whose names I've been mentioning to you so often. One is from the Houston Chronicle, August the 7th, 1981, called Dope and Money in Miami, and it's about that big two-and-a-half-year investigation of the FBI into the Florida dope dealers who are into a large multi-billion-dollar operation, the largest dope operation in the United States. It was called the Operation TikTok that the FBI worked on for years that brought in Cubans, anti-Castro Cubans, people working for the Bay of Pigs, undercover agents that worked for the CIA. When they finally brought in the agents who are laundering $200 million in drug money every few days and turning into $4 million of profit, who did they tap into but the South American interests, the anti-Castro Cubans, and the CIA agents? After all their work, they're going to end up with the same Theodore Shackley, Edwin Wilson, Frank Turbel, Nugan Hand Gang, Frank Turbel. Now, another article linked to that during the arrest there of Dope and Money in Miami, equally important, came out in Jonathan Marshall's newsletter, the recent newsletter called Parapolitics, and also from the Miami Herald. This was August the 8th, 1981, on Villa Verde drug charges, and it has to do with the shock in the Cuban community that when they arrested the men involved in this massive drug operation in Little Miami, they came across people such as Frank Castro, a Bay of Pigs veteran involved in the Dominican Republic operations, that's different than Dominica, whose home allegedly is where Orlando Letelier's murder was arranged with the anti-Castro Cubans and the CIA in Miami. And then it goes into the fact that the men arrested were also the men that Edwin Wilson hired and Gaddafi hired to kill a person over in Egypt, that they work with Frank Turbel, Edwin Wilson, and the connection of the Letelier murder in the United States in Washington, D.C., to the Miami assassins. And again, these people link up to Crystal River and to Robert Lisenby and the Alabama Nazi Klan training camps. In other words, the men that I've been mentioning on the air for a long time, the CIA agents, are going to be investigated by the House Intelligence Committee. When I guarantee you, when that House Intelligence Committee gets going, it will call a special prosecutor, and it will link to William Colby and the Nugan Hand Bank, and specifically to the combine of the Nazis, of the CIA, and of the narcotics traffic that has swept into this country with the aiding of Jimmy Carter and Ronald Reagan's teams, whether it's Richard Nixon, and I mentioned Ronald Reagan because the mob also had a big part of putting Ronald Reagan into office. Now, whether he as president can hold this, I don't know, or whether it'll Reagan-gate him because of his links, again, to Licio Gelli and the Nazi group down in South America. Time will tell. If it's done right, it will bring them all out. And actually, what we need is a sweep of government such as Italy had, where you get all of them out and start over with nobody involved in the CIA operations, in the narcotic operations, and in the murders. The only way this will ever get cleaned up, if you don't want 200 investigations, is to sweep them all out. But let's hope the House Intelligence Committee gets going, because, wow, what they're going to find when they're there is going to be a surprise. In the meantime, keep reading those papers and sending me articles. This is Mae Brussel in Carmel, California, and I'll be back with you next week.
This has been World Watchers International with noted conspiracy investigator Mae Brussel. This program originates from Carmel, California.